It's good to see everyone this morning. I just want to start out by saying I'm very thankful to be up here this morning. My wife and I have been very blessed to be down here in Tuscaloosa, and we've really benefited a lot from being a part of this congregation. Everyone's just been completely welcoming, and I just really appreciate everything that everyone's done for us. You know, since we moved down here, I haven't had a chance to wear this suit, and it's a little bit tighter. I think it's probably the humidity, but it could be the southern cooking as well. So, my topic this morning is Jesus the Great Communicator. When I was in college, I went to Florida College for 2 years, and I was in speech and debate. I really did kind of more of the interp kind of stuff, but I got interested in communication. And, you know, we think of Jesus, the way we think of him in a lot of different ways. We just got done singing about him as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb. We think of him as a loving shepherd. He's a great high priest, King of Kings. But how many times have we thought of Jesus as the great communicator? You know, Jesus is the greatest communicator that's ever lived. And I think we can learn a lot from him. And so that's what I want to do this morning is I want to look. Let me get this to go here. There we go. So this morning I want to look at what are the skills needed to be a great communicator? And how did Jesus master those skills? Then I want to look at how we can apply that to our lives, and then how can we implement that? What are some daily strategies that we can do to implement those communication skills that Jesus had? So first of all, Jesus knew, Jesus knew that number one, the audience must hear the message. It's pretty common. But when I remember when I was young and I was in the training courses to lead in the worship, and the first thing they would tell us is, you got to speak up. You got to make sure that everyone can hear. Jesus knew this completely. The first thing that a communicator needs to know is that the audience must hear, or else the message will be lost. In Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So this is rudimentary in knowing how to communicate, is knowing that the audience must hear. Jesus knew this. Jesus understood this completely. In Luke 5, verses 1 through 3, let's read this. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So why did Jesus do this? The crowds were crowding around him. Was it because he was uncomfortable? No, it was because he wanted everyone to be able to hear the message. He realized that everyone was crowding around. The people in the back weren't going to be able to hear. So he got in the boat and he pushed out a little bit so that everyone could hear the message. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught from a mountain so that everyone around would be able to hear. You know, Jesus allows everyone in the world to be able to hear his message. He's the best at doing this, allowing everyone to hear. The Bible is the most popular book sold around the world. The manuscripts that we have of the Old and New Testament are more numerous than any other ancient document. This is by design. Jesus wanted to make sure everyone could hear the message. And everyone can hear Jesus' message today. In fact, he told his disciples to go and spread the message. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus knew it was important that everyone hear the message, and so he told his disciples, go, tell everyone the message. So the question is, are we doing this in our life? Are we making sure that everyone can hear our message? What are we doing in our daily routine to make sure that people can hear the message of Christ? Well, I'd suggest to us that we need to make religion part of our daily life. We need to, not only in evangelism, but also in encouraging others. You know, there's a lot of different messages that were to give to others, not only evangelism, not only the gospel of Christ, but also encouragement to one another. And we need to make sure we're doing that. talking to one another about spiritual things, inviting people to worship, becoming a spiritual leader in our workplace. I think this is one thing that work or school that we can do. You know, there's not a whole lot of spiritual leaders out there, and I think if we just do a little bit, we can be the person that someone who has a question about religious things will come to and ask. Maybe that's one way that we get our message out. Making friends with our brethren, visiting the elderly in our congregation, teaching our children. How are we going to make sure that our children hear the message if we're not teaching them at home, if we're not allowing them to hear the message of the gospel? And then the last thing I'd say is prayer for a response. We need to be praying that others will come to us, that others will want to hear our message, the message of the gospel. The second thing an effective communicator needs to know is he needs to know the subject, and he needs to know the purpose of his message. You know, when someone's becoming a doctor of a certain field, they have to present their dissertation. And they've got to present their dissertation to a committee of other doctors in that same field. And then those doctors ask them questions about the research that they've done. They've got to know the purpose of their research, and they've got to be completely versed on that subject to where that all the other people that are skilled in that field ask them questions, and they're able to respond to it. To be an effective communicator, we need to know the subject, and we need to know the purpose of why we're delivering that message. Jesus had complete reign over the Scripture. He knew his purpose, and he had complete authority over a subject. Matthew 20, verse 27. Matthew 20, verse 27 and 28. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life ransom for many. Jesus knew why he came to the earth. He lived his entire life with this mission statement, that he came to serve others. He knew his purpose. In Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. It's a long sermon that Jesus gave. And afterwards, people realized that he knew what he was talking about. Even if they didn't agree with him, they realized that he spoke with authority over what he was talking about. And he was able to do that because he knew the Scriptures. Matthew 4, when Jesus is tempted by Satan, he's at his weakest point. He's been tempted for 40 days, and when Satan comes at him with those three different temptations, he's able to respond back with Scripture. He didn't turn and bring out a scroll of the Old Testament Scriptures and look it up. That was on his heart. He knew those things. He knew the subject perfectly. So the question is, what is our purpose? Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. So there's a couple different purposes there. Preaching, rebuke, correction, encouragement. But the couple that I want to look at today is... There we go. Is evangelism and encouragement, teaching and encouragement, okay? We already looked at the Great Commission. We know that our purpose is to evangelize. And in Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Part of our purpose, part of our collective purpose is to evangelize, and part of our collective purpose is to encourage. But I'll submit to each of us that... There we go. Oh. I'll submit to each of us that we each have a single purpose, a sole purpose, and Christ has put us in a situation to where we have a purpose that's different than someone else. So how do we know what that is? Well, I challenge each of us to get out a piece of paper, and it doesn't have to be long, but write down, what do you think, and not right now, but write down what do you think your purpose is? Why did Christ put you in the situation you're in, the job you're in, the field you're in, the position that you're in your life? What's your position in encouragement and evangelism? What can you specifically be doing to help spread this message? The second thing is our subject. Do we know the subject? Are we instituting daily Bible reading? We all know we should be doing that, right? We should be reading our Bibles every day, but a lot of times it gets away from us. And, you know, we've got to have a plan. We've got to have a way that we can, a time set aside during the day that we can study our Bibles so that we're knowing, because that's the only way that we're gonna know the subject, is studying the subject, studying the Scripture. And lastly, do we have a plan? Jesus didn't get up to give the Sermon on the Mount and say, you know, I think I'm just going to wing this, you know. It's kind of funny, but don't we do that in evangelism sometimes? We just think, well, if someone comes to us with a question, I know the subject, and I know I'm supposed to be evangelizing. So, you know, when the time comes that somebody asks me about the hope that is in me, I'll just know what to say. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts reserve Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Let's get this on paper too. I do better when I get things down on paper, because then I'm accountable for what I wrote. Ideas are one thing, but once you get something down on paper, you become accountable for what you wrote down. So let's have a plan. Let's have a plan of how we're going to evangelize to others, and write down, maybe, like I say, it doesn't have to be long, maybe a few scriptures to tell someone who asks us about the hope that is in us. All right, so we know that people need to hear. We know our purpose, and we know our subject, and we've got a plan for that. The third thing that somebody needs to know to be an effective communicator is they need to be able to deliver a consistent message. You know, I was told when I started doing speech in college that you got to have structure in your speech throughout, from the beginning to the middle and the end. You know, they always told us, you got to tell them what you're going to tell them, then you got to tell them, and then you got to tell them what you told them, right? Jesus did this, didn't he? The way he taught, he lived. And the way he lived, he gave us as an example of how we should live. Matthew 5:3-10, Jesus gives the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then he stored up for himself treasures in heaven. He said, blessed are those who mourn, and he wept with drops of blood and said, Father, let this cup pass from me if it be your will. He said, blessed are the humble, and he washed the disciples' feet. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and he told his disciples, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. He said, blessed are the merciful. And he forgave, and he healed so many people of their illnesses, and he forgave everyone. He forgave them of their sins, and he is willing to forgive us of our sins. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. And he had no sin. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. And when he was arrested and betrayed by one of his 12, and Peter cut off the ear of a soldier that was with him, he said, stop. And he healed him. He said, blessed are those who've been persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm sorry. And he died for our sins. More than anyone who's ever lived, Jesus delivered a consistent message. He delivered a message consistent with his entire life. So are we delivering a consistent message? Are we... go. Are we delivering a message that people are... That's going to be consistent with our lives, or are things getting jumbled up because there's a discrepancy between the way we're speaking and the way we're living? Philippians 1, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Are we doing this in our daily life? People are going to be able to see. It's going to come down to, what are our priorities? What are our priorities? Are we putting God and worship and Bible study before all else, or are we not? Are we acting in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ in our daily life? We need to think about that. Because if our life isn't consistent with what our message is, then we're really delivering a muddled message. And people aren't going to be able to understand that. The fourth thing that we need to know to be an effective communicator is we need to know the audience. A communicator must know the people whom he's communicating with. For instance, his message will be different if he's communicating with different types of people. It'll be different if you're communicating with a child. If you're teaching a child, will be different than if you're communicating with an adult. Your goals will be different. Your goals will be different in your communication with a friend or someone that you've never met before. Your message and your goals will be different if you're communicating with a new Christian or an elder in the church. So we understand this. Our goals and our message will be different if we have different recipients of those messages. So we need to know the audience. And this also applies to emotional needs of people. Everyone has different emotional needs, and so our goals and our message should change with who our audience is. Jesus knew every person completely who he communicated with. He knew them perfectly, and some might say he knew them miraculously, and that we can't possibly know someone to that level, and maybe that's true. But I want us to look at some of these different encounters that Jesus had. Jesus, in John 3, he spoke with Nicodemus, somebody who was learned in the law but was afraid. And Jesus spoke to him in a certain way. In a certain way that would intrigue him and that would make him want to know more. But that was completely different in the way that he spoke with the Samaritan woman in John 4, just the very next chapter. She was completely different than Nicodemus, probably didn't know much about the law, and Jesus communicated with her in a different way, a way that he knew would intrigue her and bring her to the gospel. The same is true in Matthew 21, how he communicated with those who were selling things in the temple, and when he turned over the money changers' tables. Completely different. Mark 4, Jesus rebukes the storm and his disciples. He knew they should have known better by this point, and he communicated with them in a different way. The same thing in Mark 23 when he gave the woes to the Pharisees. He knew his audience, and he knew in every situation that he had a different goal with that person that he was trying to communicate with. We need to do the same. But we need to know our audience. And we need to get to know our audience. We can't, like I was saying before, we can't miraculously know everyone's heart. But we can take the time to get to know someone's heart. Are we doing that? Are we interacting with our fellow brethren? Are we interacting with those around us in the world and attempting to get to know them so that we can better communicate with those people? We talked about a little while ago about hospitality. A couple weeks ago, David presented a lesson to us about hospitality. Do we have a plan for that? For bringing brothers and sisters over maybe once a week, once a month? What is our plan for getting to know our audience. Because the better we know them, the better we're going to be able to communicate to them, and the better they're going to receive our message. We also need to be praying for those people, that we may get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ better, and that we may get to know others better. And I think the act of prayer helps us to get to know different people, because if we're praying for someone, that means they're on our mind and we're thinking about them. The final thing that someone needs to know to be a great communicator, and the most difficult thing, is they need to be able to connect with the audience. The best communicators develop a connection with their audience. The message is always received more effectively when the audience feels an emotional connection with the speaker. Somebody who is really good at this, we had a couple weeks ago, Keith Stonehart. That's one reason why he's such a good speaker, is because he's able to reach out and touch people and have them be emotionally connected with his message, to be able to empathize and sympathize with what he's talking about. The best communicators are able to do that, are able to touch the people who they are communicating with. And this goes a lot along with our previous point with knowing the audience. Being able to connect with them and being able to develop an emotional connection is, though the hardest thing, is one of the most important things that we can do in order to deliver a message that people will hear. Jesus knew how to connect with those he communicated with. He had a true love for them, and he has a true love for us. He knew that when he went to the cross, took all the sins, though he himself had no sin, and he hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He knew that was the deepest emotional connection that he could develop with his audience. So, are we attempting to develop this connection with those who we're reaching? It's not easy, and it's not something that we can sit down and write down on a piece of paper on how we're going to connect with a certain person, but it's getting to know that person. John 13, 34 through 35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Developing this emotional connection is important in delivering our message. So how do we do it? Well, we need to get involved. We need to be a part of the lives of the people that we're trying to communicate with. You know, this isn't an easy thing, and it's not a fun thing sometimes. Sometimes it's easy with some people, but sometimes it's really not. And sometimes it's not fun. And in order to get involved with people's lives, we've got to step outside of our comfort zone and do things that we're uncomfortable with. But we've got to remember that Jesus died for his enemies. And a lot of those enemies on the day of Pentecost became devoted followers. Jesus spent the time that it took to become connected with those that he was trying to communicate with. Jesus, the great communicator, everyone was able to hear his message. He knew his subject, he knew his purpose, and he had a plan for how he was going to deliver it. He delivered a consistent message throughout, from the beginning to the middle to the end. He knew his audience, and he knows his audience. And he connects with his audience. You know, one of the things that I find incredibly reassuring is that the greatest communicator that ever lived is my advocate. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The best communicator that ever lived is on my side, advocating to the Father for me. That's incredibly reassuring. But what's not reassuring is that if I'm not a follower of His, then in that final day, He'll be forced to take the side opposed to me. And when you're going against the greatest communicator that's ever lived, you're not going to win. Maybe some of us are in that position this morning. Maybe we've rejected Christ in the past, and we're not asking Him to be our advocate. We need to. He wants to be. He wants to be our advocate. He wants to be on our side. And He's the greatest communicator that ever lived. Let's learn from Him. If you have any need, please come as we stand and sing.